Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. I appreciate you guys listening for another season. As usual, our first episode of the year will be focused on draft rankings, but I will have a few week one recommendations at the end. If you still haven't drafted, our Fantasy Consigliere rankings will be updated, basically up to kickoff, if any changes need to be made. But I'd say things are set unless some news breaks. And of course, our week one rankings will be updated as needed through Sunday morning. So I'll give a few guys at each position that we're higher on for the season, starting at quarterback. First, I'll group the elite guys, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts, as all being worth top 24 picks, in our opinion. Having a high-end QB1 can be a huge difference, and those three all do serious damage as runners, in addition to their greatness as passers. So we again have them worth taking in the second round, and especially with our rankings, I have confidence that you'll hit on wide receiver and running back later to make up for taking a quarterback early. So we like the idea of building your roster around Allen, Jackson, or Hurts. Behind them, we have Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes, and they can all be high-end QB1s as well. But the guy outside that group who we think has a chance to crash to the high-end QB1 party, we'd go with Bo Nix. If you are a longtime listener or Wolf Sports follower, you should know how highly we viewed Nix coming out of Oregon. He had the third most total touchdowns for a rookie in NFL history last year, second most passing touchdowns, second year in Sean Payton's offense. The team added Evan Ingram and RJ Harvey. He'll have improved chemistry with the returning playmakers. Doesn't get enough credit for how mobile he is. So Nix is our QB7. He already finished as a top 10 option as a rookie, and we think a leap into superstardom is a possibility in 2025. Right behind him as a QB8, we have Dak Prescott. The Cowboys obviously traded Micah Parsons. They were going to be throwing a lot regardless. The concern I have is the offensive line, but with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, Dak has the best playmakers of his career, and he's put up 37 and 36 passing touchdowns in each of his past two healthy seasons. So as a mid to late option at quarterback, Prescott's a great option. Next is Jared Goff as a QB10. Goff had 37 touchdowns last year. I know people are concerned about Ben Johnson leaving, but Detroit has sick playmakers with Jameson Williams set to take a leap even further after 1,000 yards last year. It sounds like Jahmyr Gibbs will be more involved as a pass catcher, and I think Detroit wants to prove they don't need Johnson to put up big numbers. And Johnson himself has said that the Lions are a machine. The runway's been built, and he doesn't expect them to slow down. So Goff, one of our best late-round values at quarterback. We think he's worth a top 100 pick. And then the final guy to Johnson's new team with Caleb Williams. The talent for Williams is undeniable. Not the same kind of weaponry that Detroit has, but DJ Moore, Romo Odunze, Luther Burden, two tight ends in Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland, and the Bears improved the interior of the offensive line this offseason. So with Ben Johnson dialing things up, Williams, who is a dual threat like many of the top fantasy quarterbacks, should be positioned to be a QB1 option. And the success of Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and other young quarterbacks in recent years has sort of warped what a rookie should look like. Williams was still solid last year. He had a 20-6 touchdown interception ratio, and I think he'll be playing much more confident football in year two. At running back, this is an easy one, and I assume most listening have already drafted, but we have Saquon Barkley as the RB1 and number one overall pick in all formats. I was shocked by how little fanfare he got from the media. We don't really pay attention to how other people rank players, but I haven't seen anyone have Barkley as the number one running back, let alone the number one pick. I've seen some graphics on Twitter with mainstream companies asking who should be the top pick in fantasy drafts, and Barkley doesn't even get mentioned. But he had a dominant season last year. We will still be running behind the elite Philadelphia offensive line, and there's a chance he's even better than he was last year. 11 times Barkley was tackled at the one-yard line in his first season with the Eagles, and 0 of them turned into a Barkley touchdown. 10 turned into a Jalen Hurts touchdown. That will still be an issue, I'm sure, but Barkley getting a little more touchdown luck could lead to an even bigger season, and he'd be our pick at the top of fantasy drafts. Moving down to the RB2 ranks, I'll hit on three guys. First is David Montgomery as the RB16. He said he feels like the forgotten guy in Detroit with all the talk of Jahmyr Gibbs after how he finished, and Jameson Williams, deservedly so, we'll mention him later. But Dan Campbell said Montgomery certainly isn't forgotten by them. He's still one of the best touchdown bets every week on one of the NFL's best offenses. The Lions won't want to give Gibbs 25 to 30 touches every game, and they don't need to with Montgomery there. And something that's not really talked about that should be baked into the value for Montgomery is the standalone appeal if Gibbs were to ever go down. With Gibbs healthy, Montgomery is arguably a high-end RB2, but if Gibbs were to miss time, he'd be a weekly top 10 play at the very least. And he also played through injury last year, showing his toughness, returning from the knee injury to get back for the playoffs. So that's the kind of guy you want to invest in, and we think he's worth taking as early as the third round in 12-team leagues. As the RB19, we have Travis Etienne Jr. He had 1,400-plus total yards in his first two healthy seasons before injuries and dysfunction hit Jacksonville last year. In 2022, Etienne was a top three running back in half PPR leagues, and now he gets to play in an offense that turned Bucky Irving into a rookie star last year, and Etienne has a skill set similar to Irving's. Tank Bigsby is someone we've liked since he was at Auburn, but Etienne's upside should make him an RB2, and being more involved as a pass catcher in Liam Cohen's offense will only boost his value. And then someone that's always been one of our guys, Nick Chubb, as the RB23. Last year, obviously, didn't work out. He battled injuries, was coming off the serious knee injury suffered in 2023, but now he's a lead back in Houston, with Joe Mixon's status extremely uncertain, and Chubb isn't someone to bet against. I would think he'll be closer to himself a year removed from the injury, and something pushing his value down has been people saying he doesn't look explosive in practice, but Chubb is a game player. We already saw that in the preseason, when even some doubters I saw were surprised by how good he looked when the Houston starters played. So I think when the real games begin, Chubb will look closer to himself and deserves a spot in the top 24 with a real path to 1,000 yards and several touchdowns as a lead back in Houston, potentially for the whole season, depending on the status of Mixon. And four guys I'll quickly mention are running back: Zach Charbonnet, based on the talent, as the RB30, Quinshon Judkins as the RB32, and there are reports this week that he could be back before the Bengals game and even suit up in the opener in a limited role. Another guy based on the talent, certainly worth an investment. We had him as a top 20 prospect in the 2025 draft class as the RB34, Braylon Allen. He could be even higher than that. It would not be a shock if he overtakes Breece Hall as a lead back at some point this year. And as the RB37, Brian Robinson Jr., undoubtedly the best handcuff. Charbonnet and Allen might not qualify with their standalone value, so Robinson behind a back in Christian McCaffrey, whose only weakness is durability concerns, would have RB1 upside in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And Shanahan's already said he's the number two back, and they liked him coming out of Alabama, and they traded for him to be the clear backup to McCaffrey. Moving on to wide receiver, we have Jameson Williams, probably our favorite value in all of fantasy football this year, as our wide receiver 13. JMO somehow ranked as a low-end wide receiver 2 flex, at best, by most others, but we think he's a borderline wide receiver 1. Last year he had 1,000 yards on just 91 targets, averaged a whopping 11 yards per target, 17.3 yards per reception, and the deep chemistry with Jared Goff finally got on the same page. So I think we'll see plenty more of that, including more underneath stuff where Williams could do plenty of damage as well. And I think the fireworks will start as soon as the opener versus the Packers. As the wide receiver 16, we have Devontae Smith. He's someone we're always higher on. There's been talk in Philadelphia they could pass more under new coordinator and Kevin Petullo. Smith was great to start last year, then a hamstring injury impacted him, but he got healthy after some missed games and then was great again to end the year. Smith has great chemistry with Jalen Hurts. He scored at least 7 touchdowns in each of the past 3 years with Hurts at quarterback. He had 95 receptions in 2022 and often avoids tough matchups playing alongside AJ Brown. A similar situation for George Pickens, now with the Cowboys. He'll probably draw tougher matchups with CeeDee Lamb in the slot, including this week. I assume Pickens will see a lot of Quinion Mitchell outside the numbers, but talent has never been questioned. Now he goes from more of a conservative offense in Pittsburgh to what should be a pass-happy offense in Dallas. The vertical skill set is a great fit with Dak Prescott's deep ball, and there's untapped touchdown upside based on his size and ability. So Pickens should be a top 24 option. A case could be made for him as a top 20 option at wide receiver. And I like how the end of season schedule sets up for him, Lamb, and the entire passing attack for the Cowboys. Starting in week 12, they face the Eagles, Chiefs, Lions, games with big shootout potential, then the Vikings, Chargers, and Commanders in the fantasy playoffs, none of whom have an outside cornerback that I'd say would be a worry for Pickens. And in general, Dallas is an affordable stack if you get Lamb early to also get Prescott and Pickens. Then as the wide receiver 31, and we did have him higher before it was known he would miss time, but Chris Godwin Jr. Basically, this is a long-term investment that's worth making. Godwin was the overall wide receiver 2 last year before his injury, and Tampa Bay signing him to a 3-year deal shows they expect him to get back to playing at a high level when he hits the field. So probably won't be quite himself in the first year coming off the injury, but a player of his talent and his history of production going outside the top 100 is a screaming value, and we like Godwin to pay huge dividends down the stretch. Three other guys I'll quickly hit on at wide receiver. We have Keon Coleman as a wide receiver 37, Marvin Mims Jr. as a wide receiver 38, and Romeo Dobbs as a wide receiver 50. For Coleman, maybe too much of a spread-the-wealth offense in Buffalo will cap his ceiling, but he showed he could be a big play threat as a rookie. He has major touchdown upside based on his skill set catching passes from Josh Allen, and it sounds like he's more focused and had a great offseason. so we're big fans of Coleman. For Mims, the groin injury suffered last week creates a little bit of concern, but he was back at practice on Monday to begin game week, and Denver could rotate too much behind Courtland Sutton. But Mims played almost every snap with Bo Nix in the preseason. Sean Payton last year, when Mims was going off down the stretch, said he's mad at himself for not getting Mims involved earlier, and Bo Nix showed he could bomb downfield throws, which is perfect for Mims' skill set. And for Dobbs, he has the trust of Jordan Love, especially in scoring territory. He's paced the Packers in snaps among wide receivers, and should again, especially with the injuries there for them. And he's playing in contract year, which can often lead to increased production. So Dobbs is worth taking as a bench wide receiver, and a good option as a weekly touchdown bet. Finishing off the draft advice at tight end, we have Dalton Kincaid as a tight end 4, which I know is higher than anyone, but he had 73 catches 2 years ago as a rookie, dealt with a tear in his knee last year that clearly impacted his play. And tight end is a position where it could take some time to develop at the NFL level. Last year, Kincaid, even in a down year, was praised by Matt Ryan and Tony Gonzalez, a former MVP quarterback and one of the best tight ends in NFL history. So if you don't want to take our word for Kincaid's talent, I think those two know a little something about the position. As the tight end 7, we have David Njoku. He had, I think, the most productive stretch of his career 2 years ago with Joe Flacco under center at the end of the season. The two clearly have great chemistry, and Cleveland wants to get the running game going again, which will create play-action opportunities for Njoku to take advantage of. And a quick dynasty tip from a long-term perspective, Harold Fannin Jr. is someone we gave a round 1, round 2 grade to in the 2025 NFL draft, so at least a name to file away in dynasty leagues. One spot behind Njoku, we have Isaiah Likely as the tight end 8. The foot injury creates some uncertainty, but John Harbaugh said he thinks he can be an all-pro this year. Ideally, Likely will miss only one game, and we've seen the upside when featured, including last year in the opener. So Likely a great investment. Draft him late and stash him on IR until he's back, hopefully as early as week 2. And then as the tight end 12, we have Kyle Pitts Sr. He's someone that many have probably said they'll never invest in again, based on the disappointment since reaching 1,000 yards as a rookie. But Michael Penix Jr. has talked him up this offseason, said they want to get him going. The two have become golf buddies, which reminds me of the Breakfast Club between Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp a few years ago. And Pitts has had major talent dating back to his days at Florida. He was the number 4 overall pick for a reason. And that takes us to our weekly advice, and I'll work backwards, starting with Pitts. We have as a top 5 option for the opener facing the Bucs. He went off in both games last year, including a 2-touchdown performance, so look for him to be featured to begin 2025. At wide receiver, I mentioned J-Mo facing the Packers this week. We have him in the top 12 at wide receiver, and the other name I'll mention at wide receiver, we're low on him for the season, but Michael Pittman Jr. gets a great spot versus a weak Miami secondary. We'll see how much Rasul Douglas plays after recently signing, but I expect the Dolphins might be a team to attack all season for wide receivers. At running back, we're fans of Dylan Sampson. Our comparison for him coming out of Tennessee was actually Bucky Irving. The path to being a star will be clouded if Quinshon Judkins ends up suiting up for Cleveland, which it sounds like he will. But for this week at least, if Judkins is out or limited, Sampson should be a strong flex versus a weak Bengals defense. And finally, at quarterback, we boost CJ Stroud into the QB1 ranks this week. I think Nico Collins will go off against the Rams. Houston has new playmakers, including Christian Kirk, and a couple of rookies in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. So Stroud should put up numbers, with the biggest weakness for the Rams probably being at cornerback. So look for Stroud to start as a QB1 in week 1. And in general, the advice I'll leave you with is to not overreact to 1 week of action, or even 2 or 3 weeks of action. It's a long season. The most important thing is to bet on the talent, so don't be swayed too much by a slow start. And again, if you haven't drafted yet, we have draft rankings for fantasy concierge members. If you've already drafted, we have you covered with our weekly rankings every week, and we'll also have rest of season rankings. And if you're a dynasty player, I think our rankings there are probably the biggest advantage you can get, so we hope you'll consider subscribing if you're not already a member. With that, thank you for listening. Best of luck this week and this season. I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.